All right, I'd like to call the meeting of the Budget and Finance Commission for October 19th to order. And it is now 4 p.m. by my clock. Thanks for everyone for taking the time to join us today. And Ms. Cote, can I please have a roll call?
Commissioner Beasley?
Here.
Commissioner Mason?
Here.
Commissioner Newell?
Here.
Vice Chair Salverson? Chair Latchford?
Here. I believe that gives us a quorum to continue, so thank you, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask our Commissioner Mason to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, if you don't mind. All right. Thank you, Commissioner Mason. Appreciate you doing that. Ms. Cote, I don't believe we have anybody on telephone or obviously here to address the commission.
There are no speakers.
Okay. So at this time, I'm just going to move right through the call to the audience. I will open up the commission meeting to call to the audience just in case someone comes roaring in, but I don't see anyone. So at this time, I will close call to the audience and we will move into the staff liaison report. And so, Mr. Gebhardt, if you would please proceed.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Just a few comments for you this afternoon. We've received, just as an update, we've received final pricing on our Parks and Rec bonds, the $25 million that's been included in our budget this year. As part of that process, I couldn't really mention it at the last meeting, but I wanted to mention it at this meeting, that that S&P reaffirmed the town's excellent AA-plus bond rating, so we were pleased with that result. The bonds are scheduled to close and fund on November 4th. We received final pricing, I believe, on October, I want to say 13th, a little over a week ago. Proceeds will net the town about $25.2 million that we'll be able to spend on eligible parks and recreation projects. Those priority projects that have been identified by town council. So we're pleased with that, that we're moving forward. We're in the process of drafting our comprehensive annual financial report for last fiscal year. As you'll recall, the auditors were in-house at the last meeting during that week, and so they've finished their field work. There's still a couple little loose ends to tie up, but we're in the process of drafting the CAFR and hope to have a draft to our auditors by October 29th, by the end of this month. And then I wanted to mention quickly, we received a comment or a question, actually, regarding our monthly financial report, and especially as it relates to local sales taxes. In the attachments, attachment A and attachment E, there appears to be a difference or a discrepancy. And basically, I just want to explain that as being a timing difference. In attachment A, that the numbers are reflected as on a cash basis. So as local sales taxes are remitted to the town, we record those as revenue, and that gets booked into our general ledger, our financial software. On attachment E, the numbers are reflected based upon what the state Arizona Department of Revenue reflects in their records. And basically, the easiest way to explain that is the difference is a receivable to the town. So there's a timing difference between what ADOR reflects for the month, for the couple months ending August through August 2021 and what we actually have booked in our financial software as we book things on a cash basis throughout the year. So wanted to mention that. And then finally, I want to highlight Chris Hutchison is in the audience. He's joining us this afternoon, his first Budget and Finance Commission meeting. Chris, as you're well aware, we recognized Michael Dyckman as our senior budget analyst last meeting as being his last meeting, his final meeting with the town. And Chris, this will be his first meeting, obviously, so go easy on him. But he is Michael Dyckman's replacement. Michael accepted a promotion with the town of Marana to be their finance manager. And Chris actually joins us from the town of Marana. He was their senior budget analyst. So we kind of did a switcheroo there, and we're excited to get Chris on board. This is actually his first week. Chris, I just want to mention that Chris is a CPA as well. So I just wanted to welcome Chris to our proceedings this afternoon. Thank you. That concludes my comments, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Welcome, Chris. Glad to have you here with us. You know, in the sports world, we call that a trade.
Yeah.
Hope that's not offensive. I don't really. Anyway, welcome. At this time, I'm going to move into the regular agenda of the meeting. Allison, would you mind reading in item number one to the minutes?
Agenda item one, review and approval of the September 21, 2021 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay, are there any questions or comments from commission members regarding the minutes from that meeting? There being none, may I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
And do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Commissioner Mason made the motion and seconded by Commissioner Beasley. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
None opposed. Button. Got it. Second item on our regular agenda item, and that can be read into the minutes now, Ms. Cote.
Agenda item two, presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2021-2022 financial update through August 2021.
Over to Ms. Gomez, who I'm informed is going to be making the presentation. And as we can all see, as she approaches the podium, I am correct. Ms. Gomez, the floor
is
yours.
I'm going to take this off just a little bit easier. All right. Good afternoon. I hope this works okay. I kind of found out last minute that the setup's going to work a little differently than what I thought, but I think it'll be fine. All right. This is the presentation of our monthly financials through August, and we'll be presenting the funds that we typically present each month, the general fund, highway fund, and community center fund. We'll try to make this brief. 2 months into the fiscal year, there's not really a whole lot going on yet, but there's a couple of variances that we'll note throughout the presentation. So.
I might need you to sit up there, and I'm going to have you. I think if you go up to the computer that's up there, you should be able to click through it. So I'll just kind of say next slide, you can move us to the next one.
Thanks, Chris. All right, wonderful. All right, we'll start with the general fund, the revenues, everything looking positive so far. Local sales tax, we're at just under $3 million in actuals through August. That's about 14% of the budget. We are still assuming budget in that category. Things looking positive. We're continuing to grow, seeing strong recovery in bed tax, restaurant and bar, some of those areas that were impacted by COVID last year. So positive signs there. Our state shared revenues, we're trending as expected. Still on budget, we're just over 15% through August, or $2.1 million. Charges for services, we're seeing some improvement there as well in some of our recreation revenues, for example, some of the user fees and class revenues, and so those are looking better through August. We still have those coming in on budget at year-end at about $2.4 million. Our licenses and permits are trending as expected as well. We budgeted 275 single-family residential permits for the fiscal year, and those were trending on target. Commercial activity is looking well also, so we are still assuming budget there at about $1.8 million. Our grant revenues, the big variance there is some additional American Rescue Plan Act funds that we know we're going to be receiving. And so we've gone ahead and updated that year-end estimate to include those additional revenues. I believe those will be coming in towards the end of the fiscal year. And then our all other is everything else, our transfers out, intergovernmental revenue, such as our IGA revenues with the RTA for transit, our interest income, and some miscellaneous revenues. And those are still expected to come in on budget as well. Overall, the only variance in the general fund for the revenues through August is just the additional ARPA funds that I'd mentioned a minute ago. So we are looking at coming in at about $49.3 million in revenues for the general fund. Next slide, please. Thank you. Moving on to the expenditures for general fund personnel, the figures of $3.3 million, that's about 11% of the budget, which looks a little low if you were taking a straight line, but usually what happens in July of each fiscal year is that we have one payroll that actually belonged in the prior fiscal year. So for the month of July, we actually had one payroll that physically hit this fiscal year. The other one was accrued back, so that is why the actuals look a little low compared to budget. We are still expecting to come in on budget at year-end. The O&M, things trending on track there as well. The actuals through August are at about $11.4 million, and I know that figure seems large, but we need to keep in mind that we have already made the $10 million payment to PSPRS. At this point, the combination of our reserves plus the bond issuance that we did, so we did already make that payment, so that is by far the bulk of those actuals. We are still expecting to come in on budget at year-end. Capital, things usually ramp up as we get farther through the fiscal year, but that budget includes improvements at the newly annexed Westward Look, some IT needs, and parks and recreation improvements. And then our transfers out. Through August, we have booked the debt service transfer from the general fund to fund our debt service that's owed by the general fund. So that is the actuals reflected there. Still expecting to come in on budget. The other portion of that budgeted transfer is, of course, to the capital fund for CIP projects. Overall, for the general fund, we are still expecting to come in on budget, so no variances noted at this point. Here's our chart for the general fund. You can see compared to last fiscal year, really what's driving those differences is last year we had the CARES funding that was reflected in the actuals. So that is the difference there that you see of the $6 million in collections for the current fiscal year versus last fiscal year. And then on the expenditure side, we have the $10 million PSPRS payment reflected in the current year. So that really almost entirely explains those variances that you see there compared to last year. Some of the fund balance figures off to the side, we have a planned use of fund balance of about $14.2 million. Our estimated deficit is now at about $12 million or use of fund balance, and again, that is just due to the additional ARPA funds that we know we're going to receive. We are looking at ending the year with a fund balance of just under $24 million. And that equates to 44% of budget expenditures, and that exceeds Council's 25% policy by just over $3 million. Moving on to the Highway Fund revenues, not a whole lot to report there. Both our license and permits and state shared revenue categories are trending as expected. HERF revenues are positive through August. So no variance noted yet. The all other is some smaller categories, interest income, insurance recoveries, and that sort of thing. You can see there on the bottom, expecting to come in right about on budget in the highway fund with the revenues for August. On the expenditure side, personnel, you'll see the same patterns with the general fund. That's due to timing of payrolls there, with the actuals being at about 11% of budget through August. Our O&M in the highway fund, it's trending as expected. As a reminder, some of the larger line items that are budgeted in that category include our striping costs, field supplies, electricity, and then some traffic signal maintenance. Capital is trending as expected as well. Those actuals really depend on the timing of the payment preservation. So we will probably start to see those fall treatments come in and be processed as we get further through the fiscal year. But right now, not a whole lot of actuals through August. In total for the highway fund on the expenditure side, we are still projecting to come in on budget at about $4.1 million. And in total for the highway fund, actuals are at about 8% of budget right now. Here's the chart for the highway fund. Pretty standard compared to last fiscal year. Not really a whole lot of variance noted there. As a reminder, we did plan to use a fund balance of about $400,000. And that's going to bring us to an ending fund balance in the highway fund of about $800,000. And last but not least, the community center fund. The revenue side, contracted operating revenues are looking good at about 14% of budget through August. Those are still trending as expected and should come in on budget at year end. Our town operating revenues, we are seeing quite a bit of improvement in our recreation programs specifically, which is no surprise. Those got hit with the facility being closed last year, COVID. We saw a lot of recovery there. I don't have the exact figures on attendance, but I think most of their sessions were entirely full. So those revenues through August, we may already be over budget in that category, but we're expecting about a $50,000 positive variance there. And then the other revenues is the half-cent sales tax, of course, our contributions from the two HOAs, and then some smaller miscellaneous and interest income. Overall, in the Community Center Fund, actuals are about $1.2 million, or 17% of the budget through August. And you can see the year-end estimate there, about $7.4 million, 4.5 compared to 7.4, and that's just the overage that we're expecting in the recreation program revenues. On the expenditure side, contracted operating expenditures are just over 14% of the budget through August, which is actually pretty positive considering that sometimes the utility costs this time of year can be quite high. Some of the wet weather we were having obviously has helped a lot. And so those are trending as expected through August. On the town side, we are at actuals of about $176,000 or 16% of budget through August. Those are also trending as expected, should still come in on budget there. Capital, nothing spent yet, but those projects will proceed. It's some smaller fitness expenses as well as tennis court work, and so those are still projected on budget at this time. And then our transfers out, as a reminder, that reflects the transfer to debt service. And so we have posted an actual there at the end of the fiscal year. And then in total for the Community Center Fund, expenditures, actuals through August are at about $1 million. And that equates to 13% of budget, and we are not noting any variance at this time. And then finally, the chart for the Community Center Fund, revenues up a bit compared to last fiscal year. That's undoubtedly both the town operating revenues. Actually, that's probably the bulk of that variance there with those recreation programs that I was mentioning earlier. Expenditures about flat compared to last fiscal year at about $1 million. And then as a reminder off to the side, we have planned to use fund balance in the Community Center Fund of about $400,000, with those recreation program revenues coming in just a smidge under that at about $300,000, and that would land us at about $2.3 million, in fund balance in that fund at the end of the fiscal year. That concludes my presentation, and we'll take any questions you might have. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Gomez, thanks very much for that presentation. I appreciate it. And what I'd like to do is open up the floor to my colleagues for any questions you might have on the results.
Just one quick question. Are the pension obligation bonds, have they been issued, or is that still going on?
Chair Latchford, Commissioner Mason, yes, we have issued those bonds. I believe we closed in early July.
So has that money been sent to the...
Yes, it has, Commissioner Mason.
Okay.
Wendy, the American Rescue Plan funding, are there any restrictions on how that can be used?
Chair Latchford, Commissioner Beasley, there are some restrictions. We've received some guidance from the federal government. We've been reviewing some of our projects specifically with our auditors, and there is different components, basically. There's a revenue loss component. Involves a calculation of what we've been impacted in terms of revenue loss from COVID year over year. And so that factors into the spending. And then there are some specifics in regards to, for example, economic development and tourism is considered an eligible expense, and also some specific capital needs. I know utilities and water improvements is a big component of that. And so, yeah, there are some restrictions that we have received and are following those guidelines.
If we can spend money to upgrade utilities, can we transfer funds, for instance, to the water department?
I may defer to our town manager or our CFO to address that question.
Thank you for the question, Commissioner Beasley, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Yes, so one of the options that's available to the town is to actually utilize a significant amount of the ARPA monies for what's called the NERDS project, which, getting a little feedback, I apologize, but which is a collaborative project between the Town of Marana Metro Water District and the Town of Oro Valley. And Marana plans to utilize their significant portion, if not all, of their ARPA money for the same project. So we've got some interesting ideas that we're kicking around that that we've also discussed with our auditors in terms of a potential loan agreement between the town and, I don't want to get into too many specifics, but potential loan agreement between the town and our utility that would potentially provide a low interest loan or a below market interest loan to the utility, and then have the utility pay back the town over time. So those are, you know, that's basically the concept that we're looking at, that would then provide a kind of a more or less an unrestricted revenue stream back into the town from the utility that would say it would basically be a win-win situation for the utility and the town. There are some other projects that we are looking at. There are eligible steam pump ranch being one of them. Some of the capital improvements that we're looking at for steam pump ranch, as well as potential improvements to the Push 9 course, the capital improvements related to that because of its proximity and its importance to the Hilton El Conquistador Resort, which, as we're aware, that kind of ties into the tourism aspect of ARPA. So there are a number of different options available to the town, and we're still kind of wading through the process of examining those options and seeing which make the most sense.
Other questions from, did that answer your question?
Thank you, Wendy.
I believe he answered his question. Thanks for the answer, David. Real quickly, the couple of questions I had. I noticed that the sales taxes for construction or contracting are gone down, trending downward. That sort of mirrors what's happening throughout the state. Is there any particular reasons that you can give for that? I don't have any. I'm just asking out of knowledge.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. The best I can tell you right now is it's early in the fiscal year. There are not a lot of projects going on, but we do have some that are percolating that we think could have a significant impact that would push us well over budget by the end of this fiscal year, depending on whether those projects proceed or not. So.
So it is, yeah, sort of an early report, so we may not know just yet what the impact is. Okay, I got that. So I noticed that the state shared revenue for auto fees reduced or fell, and I can't be surprised. I was down at one of our auto vendors, and they had no inventory. It's so eerie to walk in. Let's drive into a parking lot for an auto vendor, and all they've got is nothing but pavement. I mean, if you want some pavement, you can have it. But have you any sense from either the state or around the state as to whether this is going to continue for a period of time?
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, I really don't have a sense of that. You know, I think I believe at this point our budget numbers are reasonable, conservative. I think we're going to hit those numbers by the end of the year, but again, it's early on. I think time will tell. I'd have to go back and look at prior years to see whether some of this is simply cyclical in nature, given that we do have a number of snowbirds that that are out of state during the hot summer months, July and August, and then come back. I don't know if that has any impact or not. You know, we'll see how things pick up moving forward over the next few months.
Excuse me, the button. Yeah, the state is reporting that the auto fees are generally running about 8 to 10% behind all around the state. And of course, that's reflective immediately of the fact that people can't find cars to buy. So I'm not shocked by it. Just wondering if there's any concerns. Combination of the contracting sales taxes and the auto fees. I know it's still early, so we got a good shot. So just wanted to see if you had any insight that would make me look smarter at the next cocktail party that I went to. So. Trying to wrap my head a little bit around and trying to keep up with the, so we have the bonds that went out or are going to go out, and then they're going to come back in, and then we've got the grants coming in. So for the results that you've got so far through August 31st, if you could just paint me a simple picture as to what's recorded in there already and what's to come.
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, so basically we have let me start with what's not in there. The Parks and Rec bond issuance isn't in there because we still have yet to close, and that has yet to fund. So that's not included. Additionally, the ARPA, the second half of the ARPA tranche is not included because that would be received in late June of this current fiscal year. So this upcoming June, in the later part of the month, we expect the second tranche of that federal payment to hit. Additionally, well, what is included that is of significance, of course, the PSPRS bond issuance is included in there, as is that reserve payment, as Wendy noted in her presentation, the $10 million reserve payment. So those that PSPRS debt issuance, those proceeds went straight to PSPRS from the trustee when those bonds were issued and funded. And then our $10 million reserve payment was also paid to the trustee. And so the full, I believe, $27.6 million or whatever that amount, final amount was, went to funding our liability with PSPRS. So those funds do sit with the plan. Other than that, I don't know that there's anything of significance. I mean, those were kind of the big drivers that were included in this year's budget, so I just wanted to highlight those.
Okay, not enough hands and mouth at the same time. So we've got a little bit of extra federal grant monies that's coming to us. How did that come about? Is that just something that fell from heaven, or what we now call Washington? Or?
Yes, it did. It was those resources last year, the CARES Act funding, and then the ARPA funds were formulaically distributed to cities and towns across the country with those provisions, those strings attached to it. Every community is looking at it differently. We knew those resources were coming, which is one of the reasons why the CFO and I felt comfortable recommending the $10 million in reserve funds to go towards the PSPRS. So while we technically haven't spent the ARPA funds, we sort of kind of have, you know. We're basically using that for our other needs in the community, and has been able to backfill that fund. So now what we're doing is, as Dave mentioned, is we're looking at what qualifies and what are the needs in the in the near term that we can use those funds for on a one-time basis, because obviously they're one-time funds. We're not putting them into ops, and we have a variety of needs that are already planned in our capital budget, which simply enables us to boost up our CIP fund for future capital projects.
Okay, So then this added funding really is not contingent, it is guaranteed. I mean,
it's not contingent, it is coming.
Okay.
Yeah, we know that it is coming for sure.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I may just add on to that. So we had an initial estimate, just to give you a sense of the process and how things transpired. We had an initial estimate from the League of Cities and Towns, Arizona League of Cities and Towns. They provided that estimate, again, based upon a formula to all cities and towns. There's basically two levels. I don't want to get too technical here, but there's two levels of towns. Either you're a large town or you're kind of a mid and smaller town, and they kind of broke out the funds separately. When the Treasury went back and did a recalculation based upon whether you were an entitlement unit or a non-entitlement unit, again, kind of based upon whether you're more or less a large town or a smaller type of town, that's what caused that change in funding. And that initial estimate for the town was about $11 million. And as they came back and did that recalculation and firmed up those numbers, it turned out to be about $15 million. So there was about a $4 million delta between the initial and the final estimate that came from Treasury through the League of Cities and Towns.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, good for us.
Just real quickly, jump over the
button. Let me just jump over to the Community Center Fund just for a moment. I noticed that our golf revenues did decline. Now, I know that we're into the hot months and everything that is being reported, but they were significantly reduced from the prior year. Member dues performed well, which I know is a good thing. I was wondering if there's anything in particular about the public rounds or the golf revenues that maybe you were told by Indico as to what's causing that decline.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, I'll take a stab at this. So if you'll recall, July was kind of an odd month for July and August, really, they were two odd months in terms of the monsoon season. If you'll recall, a year ago, we really didn't have a monsoon season. It was pretty much non-existent. But this year, we really did. It was more of a historic monsoon season in nature, and that those rains were heavy enough that they ended up causing closures at the courses for at least several days. And I think that's really why you see those golf revenues declining a little bit. We certainly don't anticipate, since we're kind of through that monsoon season, we don't anticipate that that would continue. We would what we do anticipate is that the moving forward through September, October, et cetera, in these months that we're in, that that those golf revenues will return to something more consistent with what we saw last fiscal year.
Chair Letchford, if I may just interject real quick, just glancing at attachment C-2, which is our contractor's profit and loss statement, actually looks like revenues through August are just a smidge over where they were last year through August. We're at about $505,000 compared to about $487,000 for revenues for the contractor. Thank you.
Right, yeah. That's comparing to budget, is that correct?
Those are actuals, Mr. Chair.
Right, so the actual results for the month was how much?
Through August, their actuals are about $505,000.
$505,000, and then compared that to their budget, it's $433,000, you said?
Yes, that's correct.
So I noticed that it appears that the contractor, Indigo, is seasonally adjusting their budget.
I'd have to double check on that, actually. I'm not certain if it's a straight line or if they have seasonally adjusted for the months.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting, you know, whereas when we look at the various categories on the town's financial statements, you could season, could be seasonal, but you don't really break it out there. You just show us the total amount, and then you sort of allocate it by month. You know, how many months am I completed through 12? I suspect that they're doing a seasonal adjustment. Because if I take what the town should or is reporting for the month, it's $605,000, and that's taking 2/12 of the annual budget. Which historically you've done. I'm not suggesting that it's incorrect, but that's how the town is doing it. And I'm pretty sure Indigo is seasonally adjusting it somehow. They know that they've got weather impacts and rain. And so I would expect that their profit and loss statements would be seasonally adjusted, which is okay. We just need to know there's that difference.
I would expect that as well, Mr. Chair, and I can verify that for you.
Well, I know we have the historicals of the actual profit loss for the last 3 years, and if you go back and look at these, I know, Mr. Chair, you'll see that the summer months are, you know, certainly losses in the summer months because the cost for a round of golf goes down because demand is down. As it is warm and there are less people here and more water is having to be used to keep the grass growing and healthy and alive. And the profitable months for golf are after overseed in December, January, February, and March, where the course turns into the black. So anytime the losses can be held slim due to extra rain that we occurred this summer, you're going to see drastically improved numbers by the end of the year. And it does look like that the course is, because even though the revenue and the rounds played due to the rain are down, the savings from not having to water the course as much is, you know, moved the course more into the black compared to last year, over $120,000. So I would assume that is, you know, that's a baked in growth, and that should continue to hold if the course and the management does what it did last year. You know, that water has already been saved, so it seems like it's in a very good spot comparatively to last year.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you that's the expectation that you would have for any golf operation. Everybody's got to deal with the elements, and so I don't disagree with that. I'm merely pointing out that the budget mechanisms that we deploy with our statements internally within the town are not going to match up with what Indigo is going to show on their statements. That's all I'm saying at this point. And as we're just well aware of it, we just need to know that when we're discussing it. Did I confuse more or clarify? One other thing, if I can, on the golf operation. I did see from their P&L that they have something called utilities maintenance. And it looks like they're showing a very large favorable variance.
Chair Latchford, without knowing for certain, I would probably make the assumption that is just due to all the rain that we received over the last couple months. That could be contributing to the improvement that you see there year over year.
Okay. All right. Yep. That would be a real good guess. I hadn't thought of it. Okay. All right. Thank you. Let me do any of the other commissioners have questions that you want to pose? Yes, sir.
Kind of a speculative question. The border is now open with Canada, or will be in another 2 weeks or so. Do we have any feel at all as to the potential impact of that versus last year as an example where we didn't really have many Canadians being able to drive down here for being snowbirds?
If I may, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Beasley, I think we all agree that a number of Canadians, actually the entire region, benefits from having Canadians in our economy during that time. I expect we will see more snowbirds this year, not just Canadians. There were a lot of folks who stayed home last year, went home after the summertime. They were extended here when there was a shutdown, and they said, bye, I'm going home, and we're not traveling. A number of them have also sold their second homes. And so I don't know. I think it's remains to be seen. We still had a very strong year last year in terms of our sales taxes and whatnot. We are definitely seeing an improvement in bed tax this year. I was just up at the El Conquistador a few days ago, and they're doing much better, and they have a lot of bookings for the fall, so they're looking way better. And so I think it's all definitely tied together. Who's buying the new houses, if they're being rented, if they're more snowbirds, I think we don't quite know yet. But your observations are keen, and we look forward to reviewing that data as it comes in the coming months.
I'm not sure if I have a question or a comment, but anyway, I will say it, that the revenues that the town is generating through the community center are pretty impressive. I guess everybody's coming back out to exercise. I can only guess that that's a direct result of the vaccinations and people feeling more comfortable. I mean, just my wife and I got boosters the other day, and so we immediately went out to a restaurant in Oro Valley, by the way, just to make you know. All right. Any other? Yes, go ahead, Commissioner.
Just one question on the park bonds. Is there a limit to when we have to have the money spent?
Yes, Commissioner Mason, members of the commission. I believe, I want to say December 31st, 2024. And then I believe there may be, depending on the project, there may be extensions or the ability to extend past that deadline. But that is kind of the initial deadline that's been set out.
Do we have a lot of projects that are ready to go, or are they still in a lot of design phases?
Thank you, Chair. And Commissioner, we weren't prepared to be moving this quickly when the council gave us that direction in April. So we are in the planning procurement stage for design on our projects. But we do have a project schedule that we have projected, and we believe that all or most should be completed, fully complete by that deadline. So we have our work finalizing a contractor right now with our designer for Naranja Park. We expect that to be signed by the end of next week. We also have done the procurement process for our construction manager at risk contractor for the actual construction of Naranja Park. So we'll have them working together on that. And we are in the throes of it, and I'm very proud of my team for the work they've done, particularly our two-person procurement team, who has been absolutely inundated with a variety of different procurements.
Thank you.
So I guess we're at that part where we're going to state in conclusion. But I was wondering, now that we have the leadership here, just briefly, I always like to ask this question. How are you feeling about the year's performance thus far? I know it's still early. I got that. And a lot of things can happen, but it's always nice to take the pulse of the leadership to get a sense of what they're feeling day to day.
Well, I'll jump in, and I'm sure Dave can add his two cents. I think we're feeling very confident about the year, and certainly projecting at least staying on budget. I think we'll probably do better than budget in expenditures and not expending everything that we have, and also our revenue projections. So far, we don't see any red flags. We're talking to the state, and except for the cars that you mentioned, which may pick up a little bit later on, but that's not a huge part of our revenues, so it's not going to have a notable. Ours, of course, is the sales taxes. If they're doing well here, they're doing well at the state level, which means that our state shared revenues will be positively impacted as well. So I would say overall, we got, as Dave mentioned, we've got some things in the hopper that might break ground this year. That could be a big boost for us. And if not, they'll break ground next year, and that'll be just as positive. So good stuff. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, and if I may, Mr. Chair, just to jump in there, we are very mindful of inflation and the challenges that our nation is seeing from a distribution supply chain standpoint. As you're probably well aware, I mean, it's been it's public knowledge, it's well out there in the news. There are a lot of ships that are docked off the coast of California that are unable to unload their goods. So if we have challenges through the Christmas season with folks being able to buy goods that they would normally buy, toys or, supplies or whatever that they're buying through the holiday season, and we're impacted from a sales tax standpoint, just from from those goods being unavailable to buy, that could be challenging for the town. So these are some of the issues that we've got our eye on, both inflation and then also the availability of goods to be purchased. And so those are things that, as we move forward through the fiscal year, we're going to have to monitor and be wise about in terms of town spending.
All right. Well, thank you very much for those comments. We appreciate it. At this point, I think we've had all of our Questions answered. Thank you for the presentation. Appreciate the work. And at this time, I'm going to move through the council's liaison comments. Council Member Nicholson has not been able to join us this evening. So we'll move to future agenda items. Does any member of the commission have a future agenda item that they'd like to put on the agenda?
I've asked for this before, and that's the employee pension plan, not the police pension plan. I know we don't have a separate trust, et cetera, but from an informational perspective, just trying to get an idea as to what might be going on there that could potentially impact future funding for that plan, specifically performance issues, et cetera.
If I may respond to that just quickly, Mr. Chair, just to give a status update. I've heard that request. Commissioner Beasley has not gone on deaf ears, certainly. I have been in contact with our financial advisor from Stifel, who wants to connect with me regarding a potential, and I hesitate to even mention it, but a potential solution in regards to ASRS, and of course I'm always willing to have those conversations. So he thinks it's very creative. They're working on a solution for their clients and their customers. I have yet to have that conversation, and so I kind of wanted to have that conversation first, understand what their perspective is, what type of solution they're proposing before I brought back a report to the commission on that. So again, it's kind of in the hopper. It's percolating. It's coming. Just be patient with me a little bit. We'll provide a report soon.
The other thing that we sort of briefly talked about, but maybe a request hasn't been made, and that has to do with our investment for our cash. As you know, interest rates are going up. And as interest rates go up, the price of those bonds go down. So I think maybe giving us some type of a status report on what the investment manager is doing to potentially minimize possible losses in that portfolio. I do have one more. and I apologize if I don't have up-to-date information, but I'd kind of like to know what is going to happen with regard to the financial impact on the town with the conservatory acquisition of the Vistoso Golf Course.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Beasley, that's not something that I'm prepared to put on your agenda at this point, as it is still in the hands of the council. But at the appropriate time, we can certainly brief you with as much information as we have.
I just want to make sure we're not lost, that's all.
Okay, I see no other hands going up. Thank you, Commissioner Beasley, for that. We'll have three items, and I will so note it in the minutes going forward. Well, at this point, then, we've moved to adjournment. So do I have a motion to adjourn from the Commissioner?
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have Commissioner Beasley moving to adjourn, and a second by Commissioner Newell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, we are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.